Welcome back to the second class. I'm Robert Stumpf, High Point Church, and today we're going to do our second key to God's gym. And the second key, the first key was journaling, right? You all have your journals, and you're all asked to journal every week, every day of the week. And let me just ask, how many people journaled at least four times during the week? That is great. Now let me ask this other question. How many of you just tried but couldn't write anything? There was a couple of people. All right. So then I would like to reassure you and tell you this like I'm telling everybody else. This is Mark Verkler's program, and you can go online on YouTube and look at Mark and Patty Verkler, Four Keys to Hearing God. And he has short videos and will explain how to do this and will help you to be able to do this, okay? So journaling is key number one, and it is a part of everything we do, and it should be a part of the rest of your life, because when you journal, you can watch your spiritual growth. It helps you remember what God has told you in the past. You can write in it spiritual milestones when your faith became real and something that you were believing for by faith, you got it. You can write that in there in your journals. You can do all kinds of things. You can, all your revelation you get from God, all of it, you put it down, and then years later, you can go there and get that stuff, and it's just a tremendous asset. In all honesty, no lie, in the last 10 years, I've probably got 40 journals. Okay? And if you go in my desk drawer, I got five of them going right now. I just do, because I use them for different things. I do one for teaching. I do one for revelation. I do one for hearing God's voice. I have several different things. I do one for just brainstorming, just ideas I want to brainstorm that make no sense. I need scratch paper, so I just brainstorm in a journal, and you'd be amazed what great ideas come out of that. So I just do it for different things. So I just wanted to share that tool with you. Moving on. Today, we're going to go key number two, and it is the Bible. One of the ways to grow in the Spirit is you have to know how to use the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about just reading the Bible. If you're going to just read the Bible, I say get any translation you want that you like. For people that are just starting off scratch, I would suggest the NLT. It is called a paraphrased Bible. It is not a direct translation. It's like reading a novel or a book. It's very easy going reading. So it starts giving you a general idea of the things in the Bible, okay? It is not a study tool. It is a relaxing kind of to start comprehending the things of God, okay? So I want to explain to you about this and how to study your Bible and how to read your Bible. A lot of you have your own ways of doing it, but I just want to go through the systematic process for you all online. So when you get your Bible, I would encourage you to get a Bible that has been translated from the Greek and Hebrew, okay? I would also say a reference Bible, so that it has inside of it references, so that when you go through scriptures, it will have things like a 1 or a 2, and you can see what the 1 or 2, it has every verse, and where there are corresponding verses that mimic to some degree what you're reading right there. So if it's talking about the love of God, it'll give a few scriptures where the love of God is talked about so you can see how that love is being used. It's a study tool, okay? And for me, this is just me. Everybody has their own way after you start learning how to study your Bible. I like the exact same Bible every single time, okay? And the reason I have the exact same Bible, it may be a different printer, but if I turn to Isaiah 41, it's right there in every one of my Bibles. It's right there. That makes it easy on me for the photography of my mind to know where it is on the page, what helps me to relocate it if I'm not absolutely dead sure where it's at. It just makes it easier for me, okay? So little tips and tricks. In the front of your Bible, there is something, and it's called a table of contents. Some of you are going, I know, there's always a table of contents in there, okay? But I would suggest this. It should be the first page you actually memorize in the book. I'm not kidding about that. It should be the first page that you actually memorize in the book, because it tells you all 66 books of the Bible. And once you learn all 66 books in the Bible, you can just flip anywhere you want, because you see the books and you know how they are in their order. It'll really help you get around the Bible. At the very least, to start, do the New Testament, because that's where I would encourage you to start in the Bible. Now, in the beginning of a Bible, after you get through the wedding part and the births and all that kind of stuff, you're going to get to the reference where it explains how to use the book. I would encourage you to actually read it, because I read the Bible for probably 5 years before I ever read this. And it's like, whoa, that makes it so much easier. Unbelievable. Really? Is that what that's for? Okay. And it made it very simple for me to understand why they wrote this the way they did. Okay? And it just, wow, made it easy for me. And then the last thing before we get into it is, in a reference Bible, in front of every chapter, when you go to the very first page of the chapter, of the book itself, it is going to give you a little synopsis of the entire book. It'll give you an overview of the entire book. Very, very helpful. Okay? And the reason I'm sharing these details with you is because I want to nip something in the bud before you ever get going. And I'll tell you what happens to people. They pick verses out of the Bible willy-nilly. And they expect God to give them revelation willy-nilly out of the Bible. Okay? There are times when the Holy Spirit will inspire you to go to a specific verse, and it will be very pointed for what you're going through at that moment. But that is not healthy at all for your overall spiritual growth. Because what you're doing is, each one of those verses that you get that in, when you go willy-nilly and you get that aha moment when you look at it, it has a little spark of life on it. And it gets locked in your inner man. And that starts being the picture that starts being grown in your heart of what's in this book. And if you just do willy-nilly all the time, you just have little tiny specks of revelation that don't go together. And you start getting a skewed idea of God and what the Bible is. Okay? So what I'm going to teach you in the beginning is just a student being taught how to look at a book, not your personal revelation in the beginning. It's how to use the book, all right? Because some people just don't know how to use the Bible yet. So then, the Bible's broken up into chapters and verses. And you guys know they were not in the original. They were just a letter. So we did that so that we know how to find places in the Bible. Okay? Some people call them addresses. Some people call them references. They're just a way that we know how to get around in the book. Okay? So when you're learning a verse, learn the reference also. Teach yourself to say the verse reference when you say the verse. What that will do for you is, as you go down the road and you know much more about the Bible, when you can do that, other people can follow what you're saying. Instead of, well, okay, so I know it's in Corinthians somewhere, and I know he says that if you turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. Or that we go from glory to glory. It's in Corinthians. Okay, for somebody that doesn't know the Bible very well, they'll never go look that up. But if you said from glory to glory, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, they can go right there and look at it. Okay, and it really helps. And it's just one more step as you're reading your Bible and learning. Okay, so how do we start learning in the Bible? The first thing I would say for just an easy way to learn is to just pick a book of the Bible, one book. I would suggest the book of John. That's almost always what I tell people. If I think they they're coming from a different place, they might pick a different Bible. But for the generic people, I say the book of John, because John talks about the love of God, and it makes it a very clear picture of the love of God, okay? And John is a very relational book. So it's excellent to do the book of John first, to really learn that book. So here's what you do. The first thing you do is you read the entire book, from the first word to the last word. Just read the book and get familiar with the book of John, okay? Then you may need to reread it a few times so it starts kind of sinking in a little bit. But what you want is an overview of the entire book, okay? Then you start breaking it down into portions. You look at chapter by chapter. And what's really great in reference books is they put something called chapter headings. And so they will say, like right here, this says corrupt priests. So it kind of gives you an idea that this, what this next section is going to basically be talking about. And once you do that, it starts helping you to get it logged in your mind, like as if you were starting to walk in a brand new trail. It helps you to start building this format inside of you of what this book looks like. All right? What I have met so many people that'll just read in the Bible in certain places, and that doesn't give you a good understanding of the Bible. It doesn't. And it will help you in the long run if you can just systematically do this. Okay? After you go and you do your chapters, then I would encourage you to break the chapters down into ideas that you get in each chapter. So, when you just read the chapter, after you've read the whole book and got the overview of the book, read the chapter, and then you write down in your journal highlights of what you basically got out of that chapter. Not a novel, a highlight, a cliff note, an outline. Okay? What that is doing is it's building inside of you a good, solid image of what's in that book. Okay? And if you'll do that in the beginning, now if you're a brand new Christian, I'm just going to let you know this. If you're really hungry, if you've been actually born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, then you will eat the Bible voraciously for about 3 years. And you'll devour the Bible. And so I'm giving you the way to do it so that you can systematically, literally own the entire book. And then you can pop around anywhere in the book. A lot of people have not been trained how to do that. And so the revelation they have is fragmented pieces of revelation. And it's not real cohesive to really know the nature of God, the character of God, the plan of God, and the plan of Him for your life. Okay, that's very... A lot of people do not know what the will of God is for their life because they have broken revelation, in my opinion. All right? So, that's the first way to start reading your Bible. Okay? Now, the next step after that is to break a verse apart, word by word. And you'll need study tools to do this. So you'll need a dictionary. You'll need a concordance. You'll need your journal. And if you want to go just a little bit deeper into the Greek or Hebrew, you'll need a lexicon. And I'll tell you what a lexicon is and what a concordance is, okay? So a concordance is all the English words, since we're reading an English Bible. If I say love, it'll show you every place the word love is in the Bible. And it'll give you every single verse with the word love in it. Okay? But there's three words for love. There's agape, phileo, and storge. Okay? So storge is not really used in the Bible, so don't worry about that one. Agape and phileo. Okay? One means brotherly love. The other means benevolence. I love you because you exist. I choose to love you. You don't earn it. You can't wreck it. It's coming from me to love you. Okay? Phileo is brotherly love. Okay? So, That's different. Like Peter says, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? He says, of course I like you, Lord. In the Bible it says, love, love. He says, Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? He says, of course I phileo you. You know all things. And finally, and then Jesus goes, Peter, do you phileo me? He says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. Okay? So it's different kinds of love. So that's why we go with the lexicon, so you can see where that Greek word agape is used all the time. So that kind of love. So the concordance is for the English words and running them out, where they're found written as that English word, and the lexicon is for the Greek or the Hebrew and running them out as the Greek or Hebrew word. Okay? Basic overview. All right? So now let's move on. Now I'm going to go to the next level of using your Bible. That's a basic overview of how, and I didn't get into it, but most reference Bibles at the very end, they're going to have something called the harmony of the scriptures. And what that is if you read about Jesus calming the wind and the storms, and you find that in the harmony of the scriptures because you're in it, you're reading it, you go to the harmony, it'll show all four gospels, and if it's in any of the other ones, it'll give the verses where it's at. That way you can check out different stories. Like when Jesus rose in the tomb and Mary ran to meet him, you can see the differences that are in the gospels on that one. It's really interesting. That's where a lot of people go, well, it can't be God because all four stories say something different. Which is a whole nother teaching. I'm not going to get into it right now. All right? So, harmony of the Gospels, the concordance, and the maps. The maps are great because you can see when Paul says, and we preach to the whole world, you can see they didn't go to America. It wasn't there yet, okay? It was there, they just weren't. And so what they considered their trade routes and all that kind of stuff is a nice overview to just get you familiar with this. All right? Now, how do we use this Bible for ourselves? We want to use it for personal revelation. We want to use it for the will of God. And we want to use it for how to interact with each other. Okay, there's many other things you can do, but those are the three basic ones. We're talking about growing in the Spirit, okay? How to grow your invisible person. Would I name them again? Yes. Revelation, the will of God, and how to interact with others. Because here's what I found, you guys. And listen, other people teach it differently. This is me and how I do it, all right? I am way, way, way focused on being truthful and transparent with each other so that we build a real, genuine relationship with each other, that we can trust each other. And I want a relationship with God that is truthful and pure, because as I take you further in this class, only the pure in heart will see God, and I'm going to teach you how to see God. And we need these things, so that you've got to have a pure heart to see God. Not everybody will teach you that. You've got to have a clear conscience. You've got to be able to have communion with God, which you'll learn in your journaling on how to do that. And then you need to know how to listen to that divine flow, that intuition that flows up out of you. Those are the aspects of your spirit, and those are the part that God grooms. That's the part that grows you spiritually. Your conscience, your communion with God, and your intuition, that divine influence or divine knowing. Okay, that's the aspects of your spirit. Okay? You can read this for intellectual knowledge, for historic records, for cultural things. You can do that for genealogies, for rituals. You can read it for that. None of that causes spiritual growth, though. Okay? That's just for human understanding. It is not divine revelation. All right? I just want to let you know that. So, we're talking about divine revelation. That's what we're focusing on. So, I'm going to go to this one. But Robert, what if the Bible's messed up? What if it's not accurate? What if the translator changed something? And I can show you a lot of places in the Bible where it doesn't seem to agree. Okay? And it'd be very easy to do that. So let me just give you my testimony, okay? You can use my testimony to strengthen your position, all right? And this is it. I set out to meet God face to face. That's what I deliberately tried to do. I said, God, if you're real, I have to actually meet you. None of these by faith things. I'd come out of the New Age movement. I had a severely broken heart. I couldn't do that. I couldn't. To me, faith meant you're saying it, but it's not really true. That's what faith meant to me back then when I first started. I didn't go to church, so I had no ministers or anybody to teach me. I only had the Bible and the Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee. That's all I had. So that was my guide, okay? And I set out to purify my heart because that's what it said to do, and I got forgiveness for every single thing I could possibly think of over and over and over again so that I can have the absolute clearest conscience possible before God. Because if anything defiling was still in me and my conscience was telling me that's going to keep me out or lose something, then that's a real hindrance that was holding me back. I had to have a clear conscience before God. Little side note, getting in the presence of God cleans you. Just want to let you know. You can do all the work to get there, but once you get in his presence, he makes you clean. It's by his Spirit. Personal revelation. So anyway, I'm going for days and days and weeks wanting to meet God face to face. And one night, I did. What happened was, I went through a little trial where I thought God told me something, that this girl I was supposed to marry, she thought I was a Judas priest because I had these crazy ideas of what the Bible said. And so my heart was really broken. I thought God lied to me. And so as I was pacing back and forth, getting ready to smoke a couple of cigarettes that my roommates had, I'm pacing back and forth and just saying, God, I trusted you. I gave you everything. I trusted you. And I heard this voice inside of me. And it started laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Forget this God stuff. Go to the bars. You can get any girls you want. Go do a few lines. Have some fun. You know what? That would have sounded really good right then, except for one small little problem. It wasn't my voice. It was somebody else's voice, and it scared the you-know-what out of me. I threw those cigarettes down on the ground. I went running home just as fast as I could run home. It freaked me out that there was another voice inside of my body. So then as I'm running home, my natural eyes started getting darker, 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 darker. And my spiritual eyes started opening up to an entirely different reality than this natural earth. And I made it to my bed. I grabbed a wooden cross that I had and a little small New Testament Gideon's Bible, clenched it to my chest and went face down into my pillow saying, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I was scared to death. And as this natural world disappeared to me and this other world opened up to me, I found myself in absolute pitch black darkness. I was suspended in nothingness. I was floating in nothing. There was no temperature. There was no sound. There was no substance. There was no light. There was no movement of any kind. Zero. There was nothing that could stimulate my flesh in any way. I was 100% in this nothingness. And my mind was crystal clear. I can remember the very first thought I ever thought. And I can remember the second before I was in there. And I can go back and forth on that timeline completely at will. I was freaked out because I knew everything about me all at once. And I saw how my thoughts were all about me, how my life, I was the center of my world, how, oh, sure, I'd interact with other people, but it was really about me to me. Because after all, it's me. And I was scared to death, thinking I would be stuck there because I had no power to get out. I couldn't move. It's not like anything restricted me. There was no way to go. You could flap what you thought was your arms, but nothing happened. It was just there. And I could feel, as I'm sitting up, floating in this nothing, I could feel this vortex over me, like a big tornado, like when you pull the cork on the tub and the water swirls out, just like that, but it was invisible, but I could feel it. And it was the attention of God. I had God's attention focused right in on me in that place. And when I was in there, this picture came floating into my face, right in front of my face, one frame of one picture. And that was the first thing I ever believed in my life. It was what I called the truth. And each one of us is going to pick somewhere where we called it the truth. I don't know why I called it the truth. I didn't choose to call it the truth. It was just a decision in my heart. That's true. I decided it was true. And I knew everything I thought and did up to that moment and everything I thought and did after that moment. I knew everything. It was completely alive and awake to me. And this voice, this powerful, all-consuming voice said, "This no more." And I said, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Please don't let me die. Please don't let me die." And whoosh, out the picture would go. Then in another picture would come. The very next thing I chose to believe or call the truth, he said, "This, no more." I knew exactly what he was talking about. I said, "Yes, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Please don't let me die." And out it would go. He went through my entire life of my belief systems, of what I called legitimately the truth because of the way I was raised. And he dismantled every bit of it and said, "This no more." Then a Bible appeared before me and the Bible was opened. The only physical thing I can see in this entire place other than those pictures. And it just appeared in front of my eyes. I have no idea what version of the Bible it was. I have no idea what chapter of the Bible it was. I don't know if it was in the center or off to one side. I only know this. It was the Bible. And he said this to me. As it opened in front of my face, he said, "This, learn it. And when you speak, speak as I would speak. Agape." I knew what agape meant. It meant love. And I knew that. And I said, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord." And then it faded away. And I'm sitting there alone in the darkness, scared to death for what seemed like 20 minutes to me. Then all of a sudden, the scene opened up and there's a beach with the waves and crashing a few big boulders, a cliff on the left side, grass, like Georgia grass that's usually about a foot tall, over here on top of the cliff, and I'm floating like Sally Fields in The Flying Nun. I'm floating or flying over the beach, even with this cliff that's right there, and I'm probably 30 feet, 40 feet above the ground, telephone pole height. And I could see one grain of sand. And on that one grain of sand, I could see on the side of that grain of sand, dust. There was dust on the side of one grain of sand. And as I saw that dust, this revelation just flooded me. I'm created. God exists. I'm made of that dust. And he is God Almighty. And when I had that revelation, slowly, slowly, I started getting back onto the bed and back being there and back there. When I was done, I was so scared I smoked 5 cigarettes. I don't know what just happened to me. I'm scared to death. It was a very traumatic thing for me. Okay? I don't care what translation it is. If it is the Holy Bible, it's good enough for me. Okay? I will not get caught up in translations and the Hebrew. I will not. Do I study Hebrew and Greek? Yes. Is that the foundation for the revelation? No. This book is available no matter how you are, no matter who you are, no matter what your intelligent level is, no matter what your college degrees are. It's the same. You will get revelation out of these pages. Okay? I taught you an overview of how to look at the book. Now I'm going to teach you how to use it as a springboard into the presence of God. All right? So now, by that, what happened to me, you can use that. And here's how. Everything that you call you, that you learned is you, has nothing to do with God. I just want to let you know. Your ideas of who you are not God's ideas of who you are. What you call the truth, what you believe, if it's not this, that you are spirit and you are God's son and daughter, it really doesn't matter. Because it's not going to cause you to grow in the spirit. It'll be a hindrance. Because as long as you cling and protect that, you will deny the revelation and the inspired understanding of the Holy Spirit. Because you cling to an identity that's trapped in this earth. God wants us to see ourselves as spirit, sons and daughters of eternity. That our Father gives us eternal life. And that's how we identify with ourselves. And knowing that whatever makes you, you, is what Jesus paid the price for on the cross. And he did it for every single human being. That's why we can live without judging each other. Because everyone is broken. Everyone has fallen short. Everyone has to deal with issues. Everyone blows it. Everyone. So it has nothing to do with spiritual growth. Believing God is what creates revelation inside of us. Only when God speaks to you is that truth in life. Okay? So, to begin with, after you've gotten your overview of the book, you've read your chapters, you highlighted your points, you got your highlight markers and you marked a few verses that they're important. Now, how to eat it spiritually. You eat natural food. The Word of God will literally change you just by reading it. Because built within its DNA is eternal life. The book itself won't give you eternal life, but what it will do is give you light that will open your eyes to have a real relationship with God. Okay? So, you take a verse and you read it. And you chew on it. It's called meditating. And you think about it over and over. And talk to the Lord about it over and over. And think what you learned out of that verse over and over. And after a period of time, you will be able to digest that word. Okay? It's called meditating. To murmur. To say over and over and over again. And it'll get deeper in your heart. Ready? Now, if you take a book, like just say Ephesians, for example, and you start reading slowly with the intent to understand it, you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, illuminate me so that I understand what I'm reading. Holy Spirit, be with me as I'm reading this Bible. Holy Spirit, teach me through these pages. And when you and the Holy Spirit are in it together, here's what will happen. One of those verses will do something and you'll feel it on the inside of you. Whether it's on your mind or in your heart, it will move. It will magnify. It will become bigger or more important. You will notice it above the other verses. It will like mean more all of a sudden. That's the Holy Spirit giving you the stuff of eternal life. Rhema word. That's exactly right. And that means that's when God took the Logos, the written word, and made it a living spoken word to your spirit. And that right then is when you have that happen, you stop. You pause. You talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what are you showing me right now? And tell him what you see. Interact with him. Let him unfold that for you right now. this is one of the most important things you can get out of the Bible, because now that part right there is a doorway into the kingdom of God for you. Do not underestimate the value of that little thing right there. That's the doorway that opens up the invisible realm for you, because now the Holy Spirit is showing you through that how God operates and how the kingdom of God operates. And that will illuminate inside of you. It's called revelation. Okay? You'd go for those morsels. Those morsels will create a meal that will feed your spirit, and that will cause the fastest growth inside of you. Okay? Now, it's not the only way. You still got to do your general reading. You still got to come to church and hear the teachings. You still got to keep getting overviews of it. But those are what create personal growth inside of you. Okay? So, do you remember the internet, the first time we used the internet? Do you remember the first time you used a web browser? It just had a place where you could type in something. So you typed in something. I remember when I typed in. I had no idea what to study or anything. I think I typed in the word blue, because I still type in the word blue whenever I'm trying something new or I just go blue. It's blue. Anyway, remember the first time I did it, I typed in blue and colors popped up and web pages popped up and all this information popped up. And they had these little sentences that were bright blue and the rest were regular. But if you click on that, it's called a hyperlink and it'll take you somewhere else. And then that you can clink and go somewhere else. And I'm going dun 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 dun. And then I'm trying to close the computer out and I have no idea how to get back to where I came from. I am lost inside that world. I end up turning off the machine, getting frustrated, turn it back on again so I can start from scratch. Okay? The more I did it, and I got used to using this web browser, I got used to what I was looking for, inside of me, an invisible picture of that world of the internet started creating space inside of me. So then when I wanted to do blue, I knew what basic things would show up. And then I would go out from there, and then I knew that next little basic part. And then I knew that, and inside of me, it was a doorway to an entirely different world that I started fashioning according to my choices and preferences, what I wanted to learn about, what I found interesting. Okay? Huh? Your map. My map. That's a great way of saying it. And so I know now, I'll say it this way. Now, I can live in the internet through this portal right here. It's a portal into an entirely different world of information that I depend on now, and that it's one with me. I've been increased by the stuff that I've gotten out of here. Okay? So now I think through the internet without even meaning to, because I've been in it so long. I've learned so much through it, through YouTube, through Google, through all the different things that I've done. It's made an entire world for me that if they ever shut down the internet and it didn't exist anymore, I would suffer a great loss, because I use it for information and for how I participate in the world. Those little moments of revelation, those little gleanings, is a web page in the kingdom of God. And as you learn more of those, you get more pages and more pages and more pages. And then you get lost and you start from scratch again. And then you can go back and read that verse again and get back to that place of revelation that you got. You can go to these other verses. You start having pet verses because you know that it starts putting you into the kingdom of God in certain places that you're familiar with. So your revelation starts increasing in that area. The more you do it, the more the reality of the kingdom of God starts growing inside of you. That it's a real place, that it has real rules, and that I can participate in it right now. Does that make sense? That's why the revelation over the intellectual digesting of just the black and white. Are you with me? Let's go to a Bible verse. Since we're in the Bible, let's go to a Bible verse. Let me look. I think it's 1 Timothy. Let me just go there real quick. It is 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to look at verse 7 and 8. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8, it says this in the New King James, "But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise or train yourself towards godliness." Next verse. "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Okay, so let me explain that, what I just said. Physical exercise trains your flesh to be healthy in this natural world. Being trained in the godliness or exercising yourselves in these things that I'm talking about conditions you spiritually to operate now and in the kingdom of God. Okay? So what I'm teaching you, you're going to take forever. You'll for all eternity be able to operate like this. This is just the beginning, the baby steps to the bigger picture. Okay? Those little personal revelations is what you really need to go for. Sometimes you got to read a whole lot before you get just one of those sparks. But those sparks are what you're looking for, because that's the intuitive revelation of the Holy Spirit that He brings to light for you, which starts creating your reality in the kingdom of God. Okay? Because down the road, we're going to start doing some exercises that we do by faith, by participating in the kingdom of God by faith. You get a few of these under your belt, it's a lot easier to step out in faith because you've already been in the invisible realm operating, okay? You're an incredibly, fantastically, awesome-made being. I want you to know your physical body is very valuable to God. It has a purpose beyond what most people think. Most people call it the flesh. Oh, the sin dwells in the flesh. The flesh. The flesh. Listen, your physical body is for you because the DNA of God is in this. Okay? He is going to save this. He's going to redeem this part right here. He's going to come a second time to collect this. Right here, the flesh, okay? Instead of operating off of oxygen in your blood, He's going to translate you and change you so you operate off of glory. And it'll be glory that will be your life. And I want to let you know, I have experienced it, and it is fantastic. Words can't even explain it. I was so blown away because the joy that accompanies the glory of God, you cannot teach or share with anyone to understand it. It's impossible because it's not a reality in this natural world that a person can make the comparison from. It's a whole different life that is times 100 of this natural life. And I promise you that when that day comes, this world will be like you wake up from a dream. And that is the real life, the life of the anointing of Christ Jesus, the eternal life of God, which is our life. That is the real life, okay? So we're learning now by faith, having hope for that day, how to shed our earthly way of thinking and identity that binds us to the natural, and learn how to wake up and participate in the heavenly reality now, because we're the only creatures on the planet that can do both things simultaneously, because we're created for both. Okay? It's not a one or the other. It is both simultaneously are real. Okay? That's why the world thinks we're peculiar, because they can't see into that realm, nor can they even enter into it. But you and I can. So we're learning exercises to be able to walk in that reality while we're on the earth. Okay? And I want to let you know, you will be tested by this world as to whether or not you believe God. You will. And I'll just give you a quick testimony as I'm wrapping up right now. I have gone through some really super hard things in the last couple of days. Hard for me. And you know what? Fear got in my heart. And it's like, I've been teaching on being anxious for nothing, but in all things, to believe God, to let your supplications and your requests be made known. Pray and worship God, and then He is going to give you exactly what you ask for, and the peace of God is going to guard your heart and mind. So think on these things, whatever is good and pure and lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things. And I've been super tested on it, because the devil does not want me or you to truly make the crossover. Okay? He doesn't. And if you start making serious progress, you'll be tested on it. So don't think it's strange that we go through these fiery trials, because the weight of glory that we will have at the end of this, what I mean is a reality of the substance of God that we walk in now while we're on this earth, is so worth it. But on this side of the battle, you are freaking out till you cross over. Okay? And I've never had a child, but I'm going to use this likening because everybody else does. You women will know. Up to having that child, if you do not have an epidural, it is a very painful thing. But shortly after the child is born, you will say it's worth it. Okay? Most women do. Us guys, we say, yeah. Go, girl, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. That's why God didn't make us to have babies. Us guys, we are babies. We get sick, we need to be, oh, take care of me, please. Women are way tougher than men that way. Way tougher. Okay? So, kudos to all of you. Kudos. All right. Do you have any questions? Awesome. Then we're going to go ahead and close this one out. I'm going to go ahead and pray. So today it was using the Bible as a tool to get an overview of the Bible, how to study it so that you have a firm foundation in the Word of God. And we're going to build on this when I come to the next sessions. In fact, I just want to say this right now to everybody before we close out. Somebody here gave me this book. Okay, I've had another copy of it before, and it's called Who I Am in Christ. Okay? And if you want a copy of it, it's free. You can download it at whoiaminchrist.net. Whoiaminchrist.net. And you can get a free PDF of it. You can go to their website, info@whoiaminchrist.net, and talk to them about getting copies of it, if you want physical copies of it, okay? This is awesome. We're going to build on this down the road. It's verses, verse after verse after verse of straight up who I am in Christ, okay? This is excellent resource for reading and getting it under your belt. When troubles come, we're going to talk about self-talk down the road here, what you say to yourself in your heart. And I'm going to teach you how really important that is and how it's an incredible tool to help you through tough times. But this gives you a good foundation. It's free. It's simple. It's easy to read. And it's work that somebody else did until you learn how to get your verses that start narrowing in on what you're believing God for and the area that you are struggling in, that you can get your verses. So I would just encourage you to get this resource if you can. Can you hold your question until I pray? And then we'll go ahead and do that. So, Father, I just thank you for this opportunity for us to come together, Lord. I thank you for what you've revealed to us, Lord. And, Father, I ask that each and every person, Father, that hears this, sees this, and is here today, Lord, would become a skilled learner, would become skilled in knowing their way around the Bible, Lord, that would be able to sort through the Old Testament religious stuff and the new revelatory growth information, Lord. The things that you say that bring life, Father. So, Father, I ask that you open everybody's eyes and hearts to the truth of your word so that we can grow by it. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.